Support for FAQ City comes from WFAE members and Bojangles. For over 40 years, Charlotte-based Bojangles has provided biscuits from scratch, hand-breaded fried chicken, and freshly steeped iced tea. More info on the 48-step biscuit-making process at bojanglesbiscuits.com.
Hey, it's Nick Delacanal. On behalf of everyone at WFAE, I want to make sure you're staying safe and informed about what's happening around you during this coronavirus outbreak. To that end, today's episode is dedicated to your questions about the coronavirus and how it's impacting life in the Charlotte area. That's all just ahead. Stay tuned. Hey, it's Nick Delacanal, and whoa, a lot has happened over the last week. School has been canceled indefinitely, major events everywhere have been called off, stores and restaurants have shut down and are laying off staff. And of course, it's all because of the coronavirus, which is threatening to overwhelm our health system as more and more cases are announced by the day. Hopefully, you've been staying up to date by tuning into WFAE or following the news on WFAE.org. We're continuing to post the latest breaking news there. But for now, let's hit the pause button, take a breath, and assess some questions you've been sending in about this unprecedented virus. And to help me out, I'm joined by WFAE's health reporter, Claire Donnelly, and she is joining us remotely. Claire, where exactly are you right now?
I am in my apartment, and I have built a little studio here with some couch cushions, so that's where I am.
Good. Well, I'm glad that you're here. And before we start, I just want to give a brief disclaimer here. You know, general knowledge about the virus and the disease it causes, COVID-19, is still evolving. So this information does not constitute professional medical advice. If you have questions regarding your own health, I want to encourage you to consult a physician. Now, with that said, Claire, let's look at some of these listener questions. We've got a lot to get through in the next couple of minutes. So let's start with a question from James D., who asks, why is everyone saying the coronavirus when the correct name is COVID-19? Is that the correct name?
Yeah, good question. So the term coronavirus actually refers to a whole family of viruses. They're called that because the viruses themselves have these little crown-like spikes on their surface. The scientific name for this coronavirus is severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2, or SARS-CoV-2. That's the name of the virus. But what you get sick with if you have this virus is coronavirus disease, also called COVID-19.
Okay, so the disease is COVID-19. The virus is the coronavirus.
Yep.
Now, while we're at it, I think we should clarify some of these new words that we've been hearing a lot of that are related to the virus. You know, I'm thinking like quarantine, isolation, social distancing.
Right. So there's definitely a lot of new vocabulary that we're all kind of learning that's floating around these days. So I called up John Studnick for some clarification. He's the deputy director of Mecklenburg County's EMS agency. He's also an epidemiologist, meaning he studies diseases.
Really, the two key terms are quarantine and isolation. Quarantine is the process of taking a person that's been exposed to a sick individual who is not now experiencing symptoms and asking themselves to remove themselves from the community until they either are well in 14 days or experience symptoms. If you start to experience symptoms, you become isolated. And so that's a public health order that can be signed to isolate an individual. And the purpose of isolation is to keep a sick person out of the community so that they can't spread virus to other people. So you quarantine the well, you isolate the sick. Quarantine is like a waiting period.
Okay, so healthy people are quarantined, sick people are isolated. Well, so that leads into another question we got from an anonymous listener who asked why people are using the words quarantine and isolate, which seem kind of scary. You know, why not use a word maybe like sequester?
Right. Yeah. So sequester does have the same meaning just in everyday use, but quarantine and isolate are words with specific definitions in the public health world. So those are more precise.
And then what about social distancing? Can we clarify what that means?
Yeah, so social distancing means deliberately increasing the physical space between people to avoid spreading illness. So if you stay at least 6 feet away from other people, you're less likely to catch COVID-19. That means avoiding big crowds and doing things like working from home or FaceTiming your friends for happy hour instead of going out. That's part of why we've seen so many things closing in North Carolina, like schools and restaurants, because officials are trying to keep people from gathering in big groups where the virus could spread quickly.
Speaking of which, the phrase shelter in place has been brought up as a possible next step for some areas around the country. One of our listeners, Susan, asked us what shelter in place means and if actions like driving around or being outdoors or even walking your dog through the neighborhood, if that would still be allowed.
Right. A lot of people have been asking that question. So a shelter in place order is basically just a way for officials to further enforce social distancing, which, again, is aimed at preventing the coronavirus from spreading by limiting people's contact with other people. California recently issued a shelter in place order, and it's not as dramatic as it sounds. People can go out for essential errands like medical appointments or grocery shopping, but are otherwise advised to stay at home. California Governor Gavin Newsom said people can still take their kids outside or walk the dog, but he's reminding everyone to still use common sense.
Okay, so now that we know the defining terms during the outbreak, what should you do if you think you have the coronavirus? Who should you call? Well, we're going to answer some of those questions and more coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. That's right after this. Hey, folks, today's podcast was made possible by listeners like you. Thank you to the listeners who submitted their questions on wfae.org/FAQCity. And thank you to the listeners who made a contribution to WFAE to support our breaking news and in-depth reporting. If you learned something from today's episode and want to support it, share the link on social media or give this podcast a rating or a review in your favorite podcast app. And if you want to support the podcast even further, become a member of WFAE with a donation of any amount. Just hit the red donate button on WFAE.org, and thanks so much for your support. Hey, we're back. I'm Nick Delacanal here with WFAE health reporter Claire Donnelly. We're answering your questions about the coronavirus. And Claire, I want to move to this question from listeners Emily F. and Tim H. They both wrote in, what do I do if I think I have the coronavirus? Do I call 911?
So what public health officials have been saying is that you should call your doctor's office or try to set up a virtual checkup using telehealth. That way a professional can determine whether you need to be tested for COVID-19. And then there's no danger of you possibly exposing other people if you are sick. Mecklenburg County also has a hotline you can call. Their phone number is 980-314-9400. Just as a reminder, the most common symptoms of COVID-19 are fever, cough, and shortness of breath. John Studnick from earlier says you should call 911 if your symptoms are really severe.
So if you're having, you know, severe difficulty breathing, please call 911 and we'll respond. But if you're just concerned that you might have it, we ask you to seek out those other methods to have a physician or a nurse do a risk assessment on you and then point you in the direction of appropriate care. 911 is not going to meet that need for you. And we need to be able to answer the phones for those folks that are having a true emergency.
Also, whether you think you have the coronavirus or not, Studnick says it's important for everyone to be practicing that social distancing we talked about before. So you shouldn't go into work if you're sick. Make sure you cough into your elbow. Plus, wash your hands often with soap and water, and then wipe down surfaces that you touch often to get rid of any germs. So things like tables, doorknobs, light switches, TV remotes.
And speaking of surfaces, Lee J. wrote in asking, how long will this virus survive on surfaces? And will heat or cold kill the virus?
Great question. So this is something scientists are still studying. We haven't known about this virus for very long, remember. John Studnick says some studies have found the virus can exist on surfaces for between 24 and 72 hours.
You know that the evidence is not super strong because the variation between time is huge, right? 24 to 72 hours that's a big difference in how long a virus can live. So right now we're just estimating that stuff.
Studnick says soap and water kill the virus, along with hand sanitizer or products with 60% alcohol or greater.
It disrupts the membrane or the capsule in the virus. How I've been talking to folks is if you think about coronavirus like an M&M, and it's got the candy coat on the M&M, soap or alcohol dissolves that candy coating, and then the virus just dissolve, you know, the virus contents just kind of spill out and it doesn't exist anymore.
And he says it doesn't need to be fancy soap. Any soap will work. You can also use a mix of bleach and water in a 10-to-1 ratio to wipe down those surfaces we talked about before. As for whether heat or cold will kill the virus, Studnick says there's no real evidence on that yet. And one more thing, because mail delivery is one of the few normal daily routines that haven't been disrupted by the outbreak, some listeners may wonder if it's even safe to open mail. The U.S. Postal Service has said that there's currently no evidence that COVID-19 is being spread through the mail, citing the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization.
Okay, now two more listeners, Rita R. and Tom G., asked similar questions. They wanted to know if once you get the coronavirus, can you get it again? So, in other words, if you've already had it, are you now immune?
Right. So this is another thing scientists are still trying to figure out. And John Studnick says that'll get easier as time goes on and more information becomes available from China, where the outbreak started.
What I can say from the literature I've seen is it looks positive that if you're infected and recover, the likelihood of reinfection appears to be low.
But of course, that information could change as we learn more about the coronavirus.
Well, let's hope that we can keep the number of people infected low to begin with. And again, the best way to do that is to stay home as much as possible. Claire, I want to thank you for your reporting and for tracking down all these answers.
Thank you. Happy to help.
And thanks to you, our listeners, for your questions. Hey, if you have more questions about the coronavirus or anything else related to Charlotte, share it with us on WFAE.org. We are continuing to report on how the virus is affecting the Charlotte area, and your questions and story ideas keep us going. You can also keep up with all of our coverage on air or at WFAE.org. If you're a curious person and you want to hear more FAQ City stories, both upcoming and from the archives, make sure you're subscribed to us on Apple Podcasts, the NPR One app, wherever else you get podcasts. That's all for this week of FAQ City. Until next time, take care and stay safe. I'm Nick Delek now.
Support for FAQ City comes from WFAE members and Bojangles. For over 40 years, Charlotte-based Bojangles has provided biscuits from scratch, hand-breaded fried chicken, and freshly steeped iced tea. More info on the 48-step biscuit-making process at BojanglesBiscuits.com.